Praise the Lord. Am I on? Is this working now? Okay, perfect. Wow, surprise. Well, good evening. Praise the Lord again. I have already completely changed my sermon to this. So, Lord willing, it's the right thing to talk about. Now we're going to start with Luke 16 and 22. I just got hit like a ton of bricks with some of those songs, and I'm gonna go off track, but then I'll go back to my my message. And I always have things that are, quote, skippable so I can catch up, so you won't be here all night. We just were singing, "It's Because of You." Amen. I am free. I am forgiven, God of another chance. And all of these songs sprinkled a little pixie dust. And God just said, you know, you don't even know what you have. And I thought, well, this was a rebuke, but I want to share it with everyone. I was sitting there thinking of this scripture, and I went back and pulled it up and made some scribbles. But 16 and 22 of Luke, this is the rich man and Lazarus, who laid at the gate, and they both died. And so this is the perspective of these two that have now died. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, listen, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he goes on to say a few things. Well, just send someone. Just send someone to go talk to my people that are alive. Go send Abraham. Go send Moses to warn my family, is how this plays out. And he said unto him in 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I don't know who's read this scripture before. I'm here singing, it's because of you, I am free. I was on my way there. I was on my way there with this guy. Can you imagine knowing what you know? Can you imagine everyone in this world that has read the truth but took an easy path, looking across that gulf? It said he could see him across the gulf. Can you imagine the torment? And after a million years, all of the shame of I wouldn't break before God and just say, I give it up to you because of position or title or money or whatever you're clinging on to. And for the million years that you have that torment, looking across and seeing what if you had just broken before God, you would have. It hasn't even started yet. Can you imagine? And I'm singing, it's because of you. It's because I talked to my mom about it, and I talked to Pastor this morning a little bit. It's because my God is so merciful that he gave me another chance. And my mom, on her knees, I don't know how many hours, putting up prayers. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they'll go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You have to claim that. And when you claim that, it's his word. I've said that from up here before, but I don't know who needs to hear this. This isn't in my notes. But we all still have a chance. And this scripture is horrifying. And it kind of goes in line with what I'm supposed to talk about tonight. Pastor, could I please have you say a prayer for the sermon tonight? Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Please be seated. I have a lot of things I want to talk to you all about, and I picked one that I had worked on recently, and Pastor confirmed that this is the message for tonight with some of the things he said about blind Bartimaeus and the lady with the issue of blood. I want to give you some thoughts on the legitimacy of the gospel. And I'm going to be talking to you about boldness, about being bold. If I where I come from, I'm required to give a title, and it's on the screen, and it usually looks nice. The message tonight's about being bold. But let's talk a little bit about the legitimacy of the gospel. All the disciples nearly ended in a horrible fate. This took some fortitude. This took some vision. This took some boldness. In Mark 16:14, which is another message that I've been working on recently, I almost brought today, but it says Jesus met with the 11 and he upbraided them for their disbelief. Or he kind of rebuked them. You didn't believe this? See, but when they saw him, they got so bold. You see, these were all disciples that spent a few years with him, and then they scattered because they were terrified. It's unimaginable to look at disciples and the way that they lived their time with Jesus and to live with God in the flesh. And then they kind of were scattered like lost sheep. But Jesus comes back to him in Mark 16 and it says he upbraided them for their disbelief. Then they have fortitude. Then they have boldness. And then we see Acts. And then we see Acts of the church that turn them around to prove the veracity of the gospel. Like I said, the legitimacy of the gospel. Think of the courage and the boldness. If just one of them faltered. Now we know about Judas, right? But he didn't see the passion. That'll kind of blow your mind too. But think of what would have happened if just one of them flipped. What would happen to the truth that we look at right now? Would it have knocked a brick out of it and it had fallen? If just one of them had turned or flipped, as they would say in criminal justice. But none of them did. Nobody will die for a lie. Nobody will be bold and look somebody in the eye and say, this is that, for a lie. They won't do it. It proves the legitimacy and the veracity of the gospel. It took boldness, and like I said, I'm going to be talking about being bold. I'm going to go to Acts 4, and I don't think I have as much scripture as I usually have, but I have a healthy dose. Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, and beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. Now stay there because I'm going to go back a few scriptures. This is a huge chapter in the Bible. This is Acts 4. So in Acts 2, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have this church being established. In Acts 3, you have Peter and John going into the temple. I think it said in the gate called Beautiful. And there's this beggar saying, help me. And he looked at him and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee, rise and walk. And so they're basically on trial at this point. And I'll talk about that here in a little bit, but the perspective here is that when they saw the boldness of them, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. But boldness is what allowed them to come through this situation. Amen. Anytime I've ever been up here, I'm always really drawn to the way that Jesus deals with the Pharisees. I imagine, you know, he looks at them and says, hey, you keep the cup all clean on the outside and your nice outfit, but on the inside, you're dirty, you're filthy. And I'm imagining right now, Acts 2, this is that. Acts 3, this miracle. And now here we are, we have these guys basically on trial, and they're looking at him going, they perceived their boldness, and they were these ignorant men, but man, they were so bold. The kingdom, the rule, the power of these Pharisees at this time is crumbling. I'm imagining standing there, kind of a fly on the wall watching this, right? Acts 2, wow. Thousands of years. Acts 4, these guys are on trial and they're looking at the elite, the people that ran everything, the religious for years and years and years going, you guys. All right, go back to Acts 4:10 real quick. This is, again, in front of the Sanhedrin, or in front of the court being locked up, right before the scripture I just read. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. And then two scriptures later, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're going to be talking a little bit about boldness, but let me give you a perspective of the way God looks at us, in my opinion, or in my dreams, if you will. Our God wants us, he wants to help us just like we would help our own children. He rewards those that yearn, those that are bold. He wants us to reach up and go a little above and beyond for him. Blind Bartimaeus says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't whisper it. He didn't sit in the back and fall asleep. He went all the louder and said, Jesus, when they said, hey, quiet, quiet, this isn't how we do it around here. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. The lady with the issue of blood, if I could just shove through this crowd and touch him. And Jesus goes, who touched me? And they said, you're crazy. There's a throng of people. He goes, but I felt virtue leave me. He said, I felt virtue leave me. Because you know what it was? It was she had that yearning and that boldness to try and get up and touch him that allowed the virtue to flow. It's the faith. And Jesus felt it. What about Zacchaeus? What about all of the points along the Bible where somebody went a little bit above and beyond? And then God met him. Fancy that. Is there a breadcrumb, breadcrumb, breadcrumb? Wait a minute, there's a pattern here. Okay? These are all examples of being bold and not holding back. And I have a long list, but those are skippable. So boldness might have two different types of meanings, and I'm going to go back and forth between them along the way, and I promise I'll do my best to bring it together. There are two types I'm going to talk about. One type is strong enough faith and belief that you're going to get what you ask for. Strong enough faith that when you proclaim in the name of Jesus that you're going to get what you ask for. Or you believe that God's going to carry you through just like you saw in Acts 4. These ignorant, unlearned men are locked up for healing a guy. Go figure how that even happened. And when they're on trial in front of the elite of the elite, they looked at him and said, by the guy you killed, you didn't get it, but by that guy is this man healed, dropped the microphone and just looked at him. And later in Acts 4, it says that they had no idea what to do, so they let him go. Right. Boldness. Or the other type of boldness is going a little bit above and beyond physically or spiritually. Or you know what, I always, and don't take this the wrong way, but I always do my thing that we do during the song service, whatever your thing is, and that's enough. What if the thing that God has been whispering in the back of your head, show me a little more. You feel the presence of God over you, and man, there are a lot of those. Not to make a spectacle, but to reach up to him like a child reaches to me and goes, Daddy, get me. And he's been whispering in your ear, and you've been kind of convicted going, I'm a little more excited with the Packers than I am right now, and God's been convicting me about it, but I'm not doing it because I'm distinguished. That's the second type of boldness. I'm going to talk about both of them. But I can assure you that if you show God boldness in whatever way he wants you to, and you all know right now what you could do, it may be the way you talk to people at work. It may be the way you profess this is that. It may be the way you worship. You all in the back of your minds, I know how I could be a little more bold. And God's going to challenge you tonight, because when you are, things like blind Bartimaeus could happen to you. I want to walk over to that whiteboard and I want to burn it outside on the lawn. Because by his stripes we shall be healed. It doesn't say you might if you hold your mouth this way and stand on one leg. It said shall. But that comes from faith and boldness. And I am going to burn that. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17, please. I'm going to give a couple, three examples of boldness. First Samuel 17, even the little ones downstairs know the story of David and Goliath. I use this one a lot, but David, this little geeky David, comes down and he looks at his brothers and he goes, is there not a cause? You know, in modern day, what's wrong with you people? This guile is defiling our God. Is there not a cause? Then said David, 1745, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day, I'm sure he said it real casually like this, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, Goliath, and I will smite thee. You know, you see, and I won't read the rest of it. The point is, tell me this kid wasn't bold. Okay, tell me all of you having just had your best service ever down here, getting your Jesus on, walk outside and you see, I don't remember, 10, 11 foot, I don't remember how many cubits, and I lost my decoder ring from cubits to feet, but I think it was 10 or 11 feet tall, okay? And David's this small guy, and it talks about his spear was like a weaver's beam, which is basically like a 4x4, you know, big, okay. Tell me this guy didn't have to be a little bold going, you, I got this little slingshot and these rocks, but you defiled my God, and it's on. Tell me he did not have to have a little bit of boldness about him. He didn't have doubt. You see, and God whispered in his ear, you know what? You had the lion. You had the bear. I mean, this is just some guy with a spear. A bear? You got this. And he went down with the boldness of God Almighty. And we know how the story ends. What about Daniel in Daniel 6:10? Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed in writing in the decree. Now this is the interesting part. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and with his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Okay, now remember, you got to pray to Darius, and if you don't pray to Darius for the next 30 days, you're done. So he goes home, he went into his home, and he left his windows wide open, and he prayed towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day with boldness, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God. I added the boldness, but guys, let's take a step back. If he wanted to be a secret closet Christian, if he wanted to take a step back and go, well, I know we have that law and I'll still worship my God, but I don't want anybody to see it because I'll die. No, no, no. He went home and he said, he'll deliver me. He will. I'll be delivered. And he didn't say that because he was a coward. He didn't say that because he didn't have a little bit of boldness. He said, you know what? This just like the last story. Is there not a cause? And his boldness delivers him. His boldness delivers him to a trial. Tell me he wasn't tried, but his boldness put him there so then he could come through. Again, boldness, boldness in the Bible. And Acts 2, I'm going to read Acts 2 and 16, but somewhere along the way, just imagine yourself, you're Peter. I'm a dreamer, okay? Just imagine. You're in Acts 2. Okay, now embody yourself and you're right there. He had to have wondered. He had to have doubted. Remember, he denied him. Remember, they fled. Remember, Jesus comes back to the 11 and upbraids them for their disbelief. I mean, Peter wasn't 100% on all the time, just like Pastor said. So you're telling me he's standing there in Acts 2, and this thing has been prophesied forever. And back in the gospel, Jesus says, well, who do they say that I am? And, you know, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ. And Jesus looks at him and says, you get it, right? Well, he didn't say that, but he said, upon this rock or upon this revelation will I build my church, right? And here are the keys. So this is Peter. And so can you, okay, you're still Peter. Can you, oh, this thing has been prophesied for years and years and years. And so you're in Acts 2, and at the beginning of Acts 2, the Spirit is poured out. And all of this prophecy is starting to play out, and he's looking around, and these people are coming in going, wait a minute, I'm from this country, and that person is speaking my language, but they're not from there. And wait a minute, are these people drunk? It's only, wait a minute, what's going on? And right there, pause in Peter's head. Oh my goodness, is this it? I know in the gospel, Jesus looked at me and said, upon this revelation or this rock, I'll build my church. Tell me he didn't have to stand up and have a little bit of courage and a little bit of, okay, Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost. In 16, he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet. Now, I don't know how long this took. I don't, you know, nobody wrote out that Acts 2 from 1 to 42 was exactly 10 hours or 3. I don't know. But tell me that he didn't have to kind of take inventory and take a step back and go, okay, Lord, you told me you're going to build it on this revelation and the things that are happening right now, and you pour out the Spirit, and it said it was like a cloud in the place. And he looks at him and said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It takes boldness to declare basically everything that the Bible pointed to as far as the modern Christian movement right here was Peter being bold to trust and to stand up and say, this is that. Let's talk a little bit about being bold, not in a decision or in the way you approach a situation, but in your worship, in your display. Think of one kneeling at the altar, not visibly worshiping, not lifting up the name. Or perhaps they never step out from a pew, which is fine. Think about whenever you broke through. Were you reserved and calm? You may have been, and that's fine. Or were you being tested a little bit more than you typically were? You see, I've spent the last few months with the youth at our prior church doing the Wednesday night services and the Sunday morning services. And I've been on the rotation every 3 or 4 weeks to do the Sunday morning service in the main service. But one thing that has really punched through with these kids, you know, we have junior high through 30, you know, 40 or 50 of them. One thing that really has allowed them to kind of step to a new level is these kids have to step forward. They can't be reserved. You can. But the key is when you're where you are and you're comfortable and you step a little bit further, just like blind Bartimaeus, in your worship, in your praise. Not to make a spectacle. Don't hear me wrong. There are scriptures about praying in the corner to make a scene. That's wrong. That's not the point. But when you're where you are and God's working on you, and I just said it, I'm going to say it again. God's working on you and you're real distinguished and your suit's Dolce and Gabbana. And you don't want to, okay? And God goes, shame on you. You're really not going to step forward because of that girl or that suit or that person that you fear is maybe watching you? You see, I think I've said it here before. When someone breaks at the altar, whether it's pastor himself or Paul himself walks down here, or Brother Frank, if there's judgment, if you feel like there's judgment, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebukes that. Because no matter who you are, you have to come down and make yourself right with God, whether you prayed through 10 minutes ago. And if you, in your boldness, come down and something in the back of your mind keeps you from getting there because you're afraid of somebody judging you, the Lord rebuke that. It's interesting when Satan tempts the archangel, he goes, the Lord rebuke you, right? You see, God wants us to be bold and to worship him in whatever way God inspires you to do it. But if something is holding you back, take inventory. I won't say shame on you, but take a step back. Because that scripture I opened with, really, at that moment, I always say, I think when the trumpet sounds, which the Bible says it's going to do, everybody still believe in the Bible? Everybody still believe the word was, is, and will be? We still believe that, right? Okay, I'm making sure. And I dream, I've said that, I'm sorry. I feel like when that trumpet sounds, that the mind, the memory is going to, like a Rolodex. At that moment, what if you were holding yourself back because of that girl and the way she'll look at me? What if? And now for eternity, you're looking across that expanse going, man. And you're not going to be going, man. I mean, don't take that light. Again, the word is forever settled. But anyway, the one that won't step forward and break through and be bold, God wants you close. That's the point. God wants you close. Whatever close is for you, God wants you close. He wants to feel your pulse. He wants to know you. And he wants to see you reach up to him just like a child reaches for their parent. And when you do, he meets you. When you're close and when you have that boldness, he meets you. This is the relationship we have with our God. Get there. If you're not there, try it. And once you're there, you won't go back. If you have an experience, if you go, what is this guy talking about? Try it. You won't go back. When you make the move, God meets you. But you have to continue to stay close. It's not once saved, always saved. I know that that's doctrinal, and I'm not here to preach doctrine. I have a whole series of scriptures lined up that refute the idea that you, well, I got mine and I'm good. It's all throughout the Bible. You got to stay close. Let's discuss the other side of this coin of worshiping and being bold to get close to God. We know that when we ask, when we knock, when we seek, that our God is faithful to reward us. We know that. There are scriptures about it. In the right way, and when you yearn and when you long. And God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. Okay? But there is one thing that God cannot do. And you might say right now in the back of your mind, well, this is blasphemy. This is blasphemy, Kurt Coffey, right? He can't force you to worship. He can't. He can't force you to be bold. He can't make you step out from that pew and come down here and you go, you know what? I'm going to try a little harder than I've ever tried because I want more. He can't make you do it unless if you do it, it's called free will. Amen. Unless you do it because you're hungry and you yearn and you're bold. Amen. You see, you can stop God. It's a terrifying thought. And millions of people all over the world every day stop God. A witness comes to them, and it's the right witness ordained at the right time. And they stop God. Pastor talked about it a little bit today. There's a new baby in the womb, a brand new fetus in the kingdom. And somebody comes to them in the world and says, you're crazy, you're a fanatic. Those people, this is 2016. Those people are old-fashioned. And everyday things like that happen, and people stop God. My. You can stop God. You see, when you feel convicted, you feel distant and you have need, and you uncomfortably, boldly step forward without fear, and you do something a little different, let's just say different, a little more than you're used to doing. I pray with the youth down in Springfield. We went to a youth convention in St. Louis. And I kept praying with these kids, and they all get to their point. And the funny thing is, you know their point. They get to their point, and I'm like, God is all over you. And if you just step a little bit more, you break through that ice, you're there. And, you know, a few of them would. And, oh, step back, right? And you could see the ones that shut off God. And it scares me. Because whether it's a kid or whether it's pastor himself, we can shut it off. We can take a step back and go, I'm comfortable. And when we're comfortable, it's the most dangerous place to be. When you're lukewarm, you will be spewed out. Don't take that the wrong way. But if you're comfortable and you're going, I don't need to do anymore, I'm good, just hear what I'm saying. Listen to the scriptures. I shared my testimony with you all before. I was sitting right in this area, and my wife wasn't around, and I'll go real quick, but I was this sermon. This is a sermon about me. I was where I needed to be. I'd touched God again. I'd gotten where I needed to be. But, you know, I wanted that feeling that I knew there was just no way I was going back. And this was 6 or 7 years ago. And I kept getting to that point, and I would stop myself. Because I'm cool. I'm distinguished. And one night, I said, you know what, who really cares? I just want more. And God changed me. And you know what? I'd been coming here for probably a year or two. But it wasn't until that day that I really got it. My comment earlier where I said, you know, once you get there, you won't go back. It was that day when I thought, you know what? I didn't even really get it until God really slayed me and showed me what it was like to be in his spirit. Fathers, there are a lot of fathers in here. You're to be the head of the home. If your kids don't see you bold, broken in worship, if they don't see it, who are they going to follow? It's a tough one, isn't it? Now, don't do it for your kids. Do it for you. Do it for God. But they're watching. And I hope they're watching you, and I hope you're all in. But fathers, who are your kids going to watch? Have your kids seen more boldness from you when watching the Brewers or the Blackhawks or the Packers? Have they? And I know I've used this example before, but have they? Have they? Fathers, do you have children that don't break before God because they've never seen you break? Guys, I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm talking to everybody else. But we have to come before our God and be bold and then allow him to break us. There are scriptures all through the Bible talking about boldness in worship. Psalms 100, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship. Psalms 95, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. A lot of this is on my skippable list. Hebrews 13, Psalms 117, Psalms 100. It's out there on the wall in gold. We are called to do it all throughout the Bible, in your worship, in your witness, in your testimony, in your singing, in your praise. You're supposed to be a tool of boldness for the King. And your kids are to watch you do it so they know how to do it. Mothers, you're not, Mother's Day, right? Mothers, right? Let your kids see you as a pillar, a sensitive and dainty woman that speaks to and knows God. Let your men see you as a woman of God. There are times that the boldness in the worship and the actions of the spouse can save the other spouse and the entire family. You say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, if the husband obeys not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, I'm stretching it a little far here to say won by the conversation. But mothers, let your husband, let your kids see you sing. Let them see you dance. Let them see you worship. Let them see you be free. Let them see you be bold. Because you don't know what it's doing. And one day you will. We read in Revelation that our prayers go up as an aroma. And one of the seals is broken and it says the vial is open and it's the prayers of the saints. You see, there's inventory being taken right now, and every time you said amen, and every time you're on your knees, there's an inventory. And one day you'll know. One day I'll know how much Mary Lee Coffey broke before God in some closet in her war room for me. And for the couple, 3-4 years where I was a train wreck, she pled Proverbs 22:6 over me with boldness at church, at home. And here I stand. Now, have I arrived? No. I don't arrive until I hear, well done. But I know where I'm going. I know I was at point A, and I know what point B is, and I'll do anything I can to get there. Whether it be rebuke, a position, a title, a person, or any of you. The Bible says that if anyone preach anything other than this, if it be an angel himself, let him be accursed. I know where I'm going, and that's one of my different sermons, but you got to be bold on your path. Okay, at this point, you probably are wondering, who is this sermon directed at? What's it about? What are you talking about? Let me try and close the loop. So those of you that have never been saved, that this is your first time in a church, I read two scriptures out of Acts 2, and you said, well, what are you talking about? This is for you. Acts 2 is one chapter in the whole Bible that basically is the culmination of how to make it to heaven. Now, we didn't do that. If you want to talk about that later at the altar, I would be pleased to. Kids, there aren't a lot of kids in here, I guess youth. You think I'm preaching to you to do more and to be more bold? I am, because no matter how much you give God, you can give him more. I've watched kids along the way. I say kids. I've watched kids along the way that have helped me get where I am. Kids in this church, kids that I pray don't falter. I've watched you 6-7 years ago worshiping, going, what in the world's wrong with me? And by that boldness and by that presence of God, it helped me. You could always do more. You never know if your parent is faltering that they might need to look at you and just be broken and get back. I watched little Eliana over here praying, and I started crying, and I about melted on the floor. I wanted to go pray with her, but it was far, and I didn't want to make a scene. You never know what that's doing for somebody who's getting ready to not show up next Sunday. Kids, you got to do more. You can't ever stop in your desire to seek God. You just can't. You just can't. I've talked about kids. I've talked about parents. Parents, I've encouraged you to be a little bit more bolder. There are a lot of reasons. Do it for yourself. Do it for your kids. Do it for the church. Do it for the kids you teach. Who's watching you? I talked a little bit about your kids watching you, but what if you're a Sunday school teacher? What if you're a minister of some sort? What if you're a music leader? You kind of set the benchmark of what's acceptable. You know, that's what the leaders do. So I'm going to rise there. I'm going to rise to that level. Pastor, you talk about a pastor. I use this in work a lot. You're the brand new CEO. I plagiarized, but I changed things up. You're the brand new CEO today. Today, you're the brand new CEO, and you walk into the office, and everybody's in a suit and tie, right? And you show up in a polo and khakis, okay? In about 2 weeks, the whole company's in a polo and khakis, except for the one guy who's a maverick, and he quits. True story. People rise to you. Your position, your title, that's apparel. Okay, forget the apparel. In the way you talk, in the places you go, in the way you worship, people are going to rise to you, and not above. Now, outliers and mavericks rise above, but people are going to rise to you, Sunday school teachers, to you, music leaders, to you, pastor. People are going to rise to you in your worship, in your boldness, in your spirituality, in the places you go, in the way you witness. Whether you need to have a little more boldness in your approach of worship, or you need to be more bold to claim your blessing, to claim healing, to burn that board down. I've given you a handful of things to confirm that, yes, it's biblical, that you could be pushed. You could do more. And I don't know who I'm talking to right now. I don't know if there's somebody in here right now that, you know, I don't get it. I'm not coming back Wednesday. I want to do something easier. Before you do that, think about some of the things we've talked about tonight. I'm going to go to Matthew 7, and I think I'm closing with Matthew 7. Maybe. Matthew 7 and 7. Like I said earlier, God wants us to reach for him. And when we do, he wants to help us. Amen. But you got to do your part. Amen. I've argued you need to be bold, because all through the Bible, the ones that were got what they needed from him. Amen. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. 9 says, or what man is there of you? Now this is really interesting. This is powerful. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Like I said earlier, our Father wants to give us what we ask for. If we need bread, he'll give us bread, not a stone. Blind Bartimaeus, he needed something, and he was boldly asking, and he got his. But then think about Nicodemus, or the rich young ruler. He knew what he had to do. He was told where he needed to go as far as his display of boldness or his display of following. But he didn't choose it. He didn't step out. The lady with the issue of blood elbows through the crowd and gets her healing. I'm convinced that we have to have bold faith that we will receive it. And I'm also convinced that the more we can worship boldly and unfettered, that he inhabits our praises and that he'll be good to meet us. Going back to how I opened, and if the musicians want to come up, going back to how I opened, you know, guys, this comes down to one thing. One day, basically time stops. That's it. One day it's over. That's really interesting because, you know, I don't know how many years ago, but one day time began. You see, there's this continuum of time that we're in right now, and it determines everything for eternity. But one day it's over. And in Luke 16, when I opened, I read about this rich guy that died and was in hell, tormented. And you can imagine what that's like. You know, you could probably watch disgusting movies that are out there right now and get a pretty good glimpse. And I'm not so sure that's not a coincidence of what some of this world will show you. But to imagine being where you go if you don't follow God, and to be able to look across this gulf and to see what you missed. Don't let whatever holds you back, don't let whatever keeps you from stepping forward experience that. It could be, like I said, it could be peer pressure. It could be because it's not cool or it's not mainstream. But one day, for those that choose the path, is it really going to matter? They're going to run into those pearly gates, find Jesus and hug him and say it was worth it. No matter how hard, you know, the ones that were tortured for Christianity, they're still going to do it. But for those of us that have it so easy, we don't live in Syria. We don't live in Iraq. For those of us that have it so easy and we stumble over peer pressure, my. So with that, I love you guys. Like I said, like Pastor said, we're moving back up here in about a week, God willing. So thanks for letting me share this with you. And Pastor, if you want to come back up.